See, the youngsters have already made it out without me saying anything. That's a good thing. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As I was preparing for this week, I've been in my daily devotions. I have some in the old and some in the new, and I've been reading a lot of in the old and the new of both. But in the Old Testament, I've been reading a lot of stuff about the angel of the Lord and how angels actually came and ministered to different people, and how they are still working today in our lives, you know, to do it, just doing little things that need done for us. And I know I could do example after example with Jesse and I, how the angels have worked on our behalf and when we've fallen and stuff. And because at both times that we fell, we could have been killed, and yet we were spared. And I can't tell you today that we're going to be free of trouble, because that's not what the word says. It actually says that we'll have troubles, but he'll deliver us out of them all. So we can't, as Christians, tell you that. I can't stand here and tell you today that you'll be free of trouble. It's like Dwayne said, he likes to see us go through things to test us, to increase our faith, actually. Many of the things that I have been through and walked through and done have increased my faith in the Lord, have taught me to trust him completely. But I've entitled the lesson today, The Angel of the Lord. I would just like you to pray with me before we begin today. Father, I thank you for sharing these different scriptures with me today to bring to the body of Christ. And Lord, I ask that as we look at your word today, that we'll realize the importance of angels in our lives, the way that you provide and care for us, the way that you love us, just beyond anything we can even imagine. Father, help me to be able to share that with them in a way that they can understand it. And Father, that we'll get excited and look for the ways that the angels are working on our behalf and ministering to us on a daily basis. Father, now as we look at your word, I ask you to just reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin today in Genesis chapter 16, and I'm not going to cover near all of the different testimonies that talk of angels, but we're going to be hitting a few of them, and then talk about a little bit about angels today and how they're working today. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 16. This is actually the account of Hagar, and beginning with verse 7 of chapter 16. It says, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?' 'I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai,' she answered. 'Or from my mistress, Sarai,' she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, 'Go back to your mistress and submit to her.' The angel added, 'I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count.' The angel of the Lord also said to her, 'You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers.' She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees me.' For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me.' That is why the well was called Beer Lohi Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered today." And so Hagar was running away because she was being mistreated. Sarai was just not being pleasant to her servant anymore. So Hagar ran away. She couldn't take it anymore. She split. Out into the desert she went. She was running. But the angel of the Lord came and actually spoke to her. They had a conversation. It wasn't like she didn't know what was going on. She did. And I think that would be awesome to have a conversation with an angel, and they would just be very open with me, what's going on. Sometimes I don't understand, and it'd be not awesome just to have that kind of a conversation with the Lord or with an angel of the Lord. But she was able then to go on and do what she was supposed to do because of the angel of the Lord came and visited her, told her what to do, so that she went back and back with the family again. The next one is in Genesis chapter 19, and this is actually the account of Abraham and Isaac. This is Sodom, never mind. Lot and his family, rescued from the destruction in Sodom. I'm going to begin with verse 1 and 2 in 19. It says, the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city, and when he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. That was the common thing at this time. When somebody came to town, while you went, you spent the night in the square. If somebody came, invited you to your home, why you would go with them. But the thing that I would ask you is, how did Lot know that these were two men of God? How did he know that they were angels? They're obviously just men who look like we do. How do you suppose he knew that they were angels? And as I talk about this, I think about the scripture that says, be careful to entertain strangers because you may be entertaining angels unaware. Because obviously they look like you and I. And I suppose, does anybody have an account, a recent account of an angel in your life where you have seen an angel or talked to someone that you believe was an angel? Anybody at all? I'm going to give you time to share that if you have it. No? Teresa? Okay.
It's not recent, but
okay.
Several years ago, at home, I woke up in the middle of the night because the light was on.
All right.
I thought the light was on, and I can't see the light on. And when I woke up, I looked over to the left in front of my door, and it was a literal Gabriel type archangel.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
No words, no nothing, but I could draw.
But you saw it.
Today,
yes.
If I was an artist.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Yeah.
That being said, I have an account of a man that I went to church with for years that was a farmer, and he was combining corn late into the night, and he had an angel that walked beside the combine with him. And so there's a lot of accounts of people today who actually see angels. I want to, but I haven't yet. But I believe they're there for our protection, guys, and for our providence, and that's why I wanted to share that with you today.
Well, and I believe that the angels take different forms. When the kids were little, they both said they saw an angel when they were just little. They were both in Jamie's room, and they told us, what they saw. But then there was one time when I worked at Grand Hospital down in Columbus. It was probably 6:30 in the morning. It was the winter. It was still dark. And I had to park, a block or so away from the hospital.
Praise the Lord.
And so I really believe that angels take different forms.
Oh yes. Amen. Right. Again, it's God's provision for times that we need something besides what we can do. There's times in our lives when we can't do it by ourselves, I guess is what I want to say. And those are some of the examples that we're seeing here. This account of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were ready to destroy it. And these were the two angels that came to do that. They came to Lot's house because he was the only Christian in the city, the only person who walked with the Lord. And so I think he recognized them because they were of the one spirit. Just as if you talk to somebody, stop and talk to somebody at the fair or in the supermarket or where you work, you know pretty shortly whether they're of the same spirit as you are or not. You know, we have discerning spirits. We're able to discern right and wrong. And so we can tell pretty quickly whether someone is a brother or sister in the Lord or not as we communicate with them. And so that's one of the ways that we learn that. And now let's go down to verse 12 of Genesis 19. If you're following along. It says, the two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons, son-in-laws, who were pledged to marry his daughters, and he said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his son-in-laws thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife or your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." I'm going to read down through 17. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plains. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." And you all know the rest of the story there, how his wife did look back, and she became a pillar of salt, because she didn't believe God. Our faith has so much to do with what we see and what we understand and what the Christian life is. Without faith, I guess, it's impossible to please God. And so we have to learn to trust him. And that's one of the things I was saying earlier. There's many things that happen in our lives that bring us to trust him completely, that bring us to a faith in him that is unwavering. Because the more you go through, the easier it is to say, "Yes, Lord, I understand that you're in control, and that you are taking care of me." Genesis chapter 22 then is the account of Abraham and Isaac that I wanted to share with you. Again, it's the angel of the Lord that's coming to Abraham. And I want to read in Genesis 23 verses 9 through 18. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham, and as you know, this is where Abraham was told by God to take his son, his only son, and take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him there to the Lord. And just before verse 9 there, Abraham took in verse 6 it says he took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and they went off. And it says Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, he said, "Father," and he said, "Yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Imagine what's going through Isaac's mind. you know, Dad, you said that God would provide the lamb, but here you're laying me down on the altar. He didn't say anything. That's what's so amazing. He didn't say anything. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." To this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." So there's a factor of obedience as we're walking with the Lord and doing what He wants, walking through this different aspects of this life, as obedience to the Lord brings provision. I really like the way that Abraham named this place, "The Lord will provide." Because you can imagine what was going through his mind. Here's my only son, the son who's supposed to be the heir, who's supposed to have descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And the Lord's asked me to sacrifice him. What's going on here? You know, there had to be questions in Abraham's mind, but he had walked with the Lord faithfully so many years that he'd learned to trust Him. He'd learned to trust the Lord. And he knew that God would provide for him. Now let's go over to Psalms chapter 34. I just want to read a few verses now showing you God's provision, how He has provided for us today. Too many times I think we think that angels went out with Jesus when He was here on earth, but they're still here, guys. They're still working on our behalf. And I want you to see from Scripture how God has provided them for us as well. Psalms 34, beginning with verse 4, I'm going to read 4 through 9. It says, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them." Imagine an encampment of angels around you. I mean, it's not just one or two, but even if there is just one, but he's camped here just waiting, just sitting there waiting for what I need. Hallelujah. So you've got angels camped around you waiting to take care of you, to bless you, to do for you. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing." Those who fear Him lack nothing. We're blessed. As a people of God, we're blessed. We can walk in His blessings. We have angels camped around, waiting to take care of us, to do our bidding. And as I was preparing, I found a little article here in the Reader's, whatever this little book is, Guidepost. I don't know how many of you do Guideposts, but this is in, I think, the most recent one. "In His Mysterious Ways," more than coincidence. It says, "The casserole was in the oven, Our five young children were running around the kitchen. They'd been cooped up in the house all day. My husband Eric knew I needed a break. How many of you mothers have been there? Mom called a little earlier, he said, for her washing machine quit working, Eric said. His mother lived not very far away from us. He said, I'm going over there and take a look at it. The kids can come along with me. How long before dinner? Maybe an hour, I said. Before he and the kids had their coats on, I was already upstairs crawling into bed. I set the timer on my phone, reached for a new book I had bought. I'd been dying to read it for weeks. Now I would finally have time to myself while the casserole cooked. 10 minutes later, I heard a familiar jingle coming from downstairs. Does it have to be now, Piper? I thought a little annoyed. We had trained our dog, a Pomeranian, to ring a bell by the front door whenever she needed to go outside. She probably just saw a squirrel, I decided, and I ignored it. Then a few minutes later, I heard the jingle again. Okay, okay, Piper, I said, I'm coming. What's that smell, I wondered as I made my way down the stairs. Is something burning? As I neared the bottom step, Piper was nowhere to be found, but I did hear a loud snapping sound. I ran into the kitchen, and sparks were flying inside the oven. Smoke was seeping out around its door. I turned off the oven and reached for the phone to call the fire department. Just then, Eric walked into the kitchen with the kids. It was a quick fix, Eric said, putting his keys on the counter. He looked puzzled. What's with all the smoke in here? Something's wrong with the oven, I said. Grabbing a flashlight, Eric opened the oven door and discovered a piece of food had fallen onto the heating coil, had cooked onto the coil and burned a hole through it. It's a good thing you turned the oven off when you did, Eric said. This could have caused a fire. You can thank Piper, I replied. I never would have come down here if she hadn't been ringing her bell. Honey, Eric said, Piper was with us the whole time. It gave me goosebumps when I read that the first time, because it wasn't Piper ringing the bell. It wasn't the dog that was ringing the bell, but somebody did. And how many times, you know, do we credit it to coincidence? Something, little thing happens, it's coincidence. Well, it's not. There's no coincidence in our lives because we follow the Lord. We walk with the Lord. So we have those mysterious little things that happen in our lives that we can only account to God or to angels, to prayer, to His provision for us. And now let's go over to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is one of my favorite psalms. There's so much good stuff in here, and I'm actually not going to read the whole chapter today, but there's just a few things here that I want to share with you from Psalms 91. First of all, beginning with verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip a few and go down to 9 through 16. Verse 1 and 2 of 91 says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So, He's our refuge. He's our fortress. And we can trust Him. I can just assure you that He's totally trustworthy. And on over in verse 9, it says, If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. we can count on Him. He says many times in Scripture, I know that you've heard me mention that. I even asked Matt one day how many promises that there are in the Word, and he knew right away there's 7,000 and some promises in the Word of God that benefit us, that God has given there, that has put there to assure us of His provision, of His caring for us, of His guarding us daily. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He had angels for these people in the Old Testament, He has angels for us today. He hasn't changed. In John 14, chapter 14, verse 12, it says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So we not only have His provision, but we have access to His miracles as well. He hasn't changed. He's not going to change. The Word of God is the same all the time. None of it has changed. And we can rely on it, guys. So just know today that you have angels camped around about you to do for you what you can't do for yourselves. Don't be afraid to call on them. Call on them and ask. And it says that we'll do even greater things than Jesus did. And that, to me, is amazing, because He did some pretty awesome things. He did some pretty great things. You know, if you look at the miracles that He did in the Word of God here in the New Testament, Jesus did some awesome things. He says we'll even do greater things than that. And so I want us to get the mindset that we're part of the body of Christ, that miracles are for us today. They're not something that went away when Jesus went away to the Father, but He said, because I'm going away, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. So we have that now to work with. The Holy Spirit continually ministers to us and shares with us what we need to know and what we have to do to make things work right. So just know today that you're a child of the King, and He has angels around you to lift you up in case you fall. I just want to share before we wrap up and have altar call. Matt called this morning, Matt McGlott. He's hurting in a lot of pain right now. He said he's only up about every 4 hours, and I know what that's like. You have to, when you come through surgery, you want to take the pain medicine as often as you can. When I had my motorcycle accident, I was actually asking for morphine before the time was up. I was only able to get it every 4 to 6 hours, and about 3 hours I was ready for some more. But and he did say everything that was wrong, that could be wrong, was wrong in his shoulder. They had to reattach tendons, muscle, fix the rotator cuff. He said it was just, everything was messed up. They got it all fixed. So he'll be 4 weeks before he can start physical therapy. So if the Lord tells you to send him a card or go visit him, do it. I know what it's like to just lay in the bed day after day. And I still remember the night you guys all showed up at the house. That was just probably the funnest thing that could have happened for me after my accident. Everybody was here caroling, and they just all came to the house, and we had about 60 people in the, wherever they could fit. It was just awesome. They just came and sang carols to me as I laid there in the bed, and it was so, it's neat. Don't be afraid to make time to go and visit with Matt in the next 3 or 4 weeks, because it'll be the hardest time is these first few weeks when he's recuperating. So make sure that if the Lord tells you to do that you pay attention and do it, because that's what sustained me through my last episode, and the last being that will be the last episode. My my wife assured me that I don't want to call again and say that I fell off the roof. So we're tying ourselves on now, so we don't do that. So, Jamie and Brad, come and sing us a song, and Julie. And if any of you need prayer for anything at all, well, I will be here to pray with you. If not, just stand and we'll enjoy this last song together.